Would you please take your Bible and turn to John chapter 6 with me? The Gospel according to John chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 1. The title of lesson 1 in this volume 2 of the miracles of Jesus is, What Are They Among So Many? And we begin with a very familiar miracle, but that certainly does not devalue its importance. In fact, this miracle is given in all four of the Gospel records, and that is something of importance just at that. Christ gave it to us on four different accounts, and of course each account gives some emphasis. We're going to look at a couple of those accounts tonight in this particular miracle. Let's begin reading in John chapter 6 and verse 1. The Bible says, After these things Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When we read this miracle, we're reading something that teaches us about the work of God. And I'll remind you that in every miracle, there's a parable of instruction. And certainly in this miracle, the Lord Jesus is instructing his disciples about the work of God. And we see that the work of God is the work of multiplication. It's a work of multiplication. Christ took these 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, and he touched them and blessed them and broke that bread and broke those fishes and multiplied them so that his work could be accomplished. And we see that he chose to do his work by using these disciples. And typically when someone speaks about this miracle, they call it the feeding of the 5,000. And certainly that took place. But we don't want to lay the emphasis on just the feeding of these hungry people. Certainly when we think about what God's given us to do as Christians, the great mission that Christ has given us to do is not a social mission. We believe, of course, in feeding the hungry and clothing those who need clothes, and certainly helping people in time of need. That's true Christianity. We find that in the Bible. But the mission that we have is not a social mission. It's a mission to get the gospel out. That's the goal. That's what we want to do, is get the bread of heaven out, and that's Jesus Christ. And when we think about this particular miracle, we understand that only the Lord Jesus is able to take care of someone's hunger. And I'm not speaking physically. Certainly he was the only one who could solve it this day physically, but I'm speaking spiritually. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can meet the need of someone who's spiritually hungry and in need of the Lord Jesus. The gospel is for all people. We know that. Christ tasted death for every man, the Bible says. But we understand from this miracle that the problem we have often is just the distributing of the gospel, the distributing of the bread, getting it to the people who really need it. And when we look at this, I think we'll see some things that will help us to say in our own hearts, Lord, we need to be those disciples who are distributing the bread of heaven, who are giving forth the Lord Jesus, giving forth the gospel message to people who need it, to people who are spiritually hungry. I want you to note, first of all, in this miracle, the compassion of Christ. Will you please turn to a parallel account in the gospel according to Mark chapter 6? When we see the context here, we understand in the framework of the scripture the original intent of Christ meeting with these disciples. Look with me in Mark chapter 6 and verse 30 and 31. We notice here in this record that the Bible tells us, And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. We find, as we frame this miracle in the setting of Scripture, we find that the disciples had been out on a preaching mission. In fact, he sent them out two by two. And he gave them instruction of what to say and what to do and where to go. And this is the very first little preaching mission or little missionary journey that these disciples have been on. And now they come back to the Lord Jesus. And they're telling him, the Bible says in verse 30 of Mark 6, they're telling him everything that they had done and everything they had taught. It's almost like coming back and saying, did we do it right? And perhaps they were sharing the blessing. This is what we said, and this is how the people responded. And so Jesus said, I want to hear all these things. Let's all go to a desert place. The people were coming and going and pressing upon him, certainly day and night. The throng was there, and the pressure of the people was upon all of them. And so Christ said, let's just come aside to a desert place. Let's all come apart. And then you could just tell me all about this trip that you had. And can you just imagine the disciples? I'm sure their hearts were kind of leaping inside. We get to spend time away from all the people with Jesus, you know. So here they go, and they make their way across the Sea of Galilee. But the Bible says here in verse 33 of Mark chapter 6, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. So what does that mean? It means they saw where he went, they recognized him in the boat, and they actually ran along the shore, and they saw where that boat was going to land, and they all were there when the boat landed at the other shore. And so here's a multitude. John said it was about 5,000 men. We would imagine there were others with those men. We don't know the exact count, but here's a great multitude of people who outrun the disciples on their little vacation with the Lord Jesus just to get aside for a while. And when the boat pulls up along the mountainside are these thousands and thousands of people. Well, notice Christ's reaction in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. The Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. We see the introduction to all this miracle is just a great lesson on the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? The disciples did not have the attitude that Jesus had. We read on. In fact, what we read in John chapter 6, we know what they said. Their attitude was, let's just send them away. We don't know how to buy bread for them. We don't know how to deal with them. But Christ, when he saw them, was moved with compassion. And this is the spirit that we ought to have towards people. Jesus wasn't moved with compassion because they were physically hungry, although they were. Christ was moved with compassion, the Bible says, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. These were people, these were real human beings for whom Christ died. And they had no direction, they had no purpose, they had no meaning, they had no shepherd in life. And because they had no shepherd, Christ's heart was moved for them. And he began to teach them. You know what we need to ask? We need to ask our Lord to help us to spend the time with him that we need to get his passion for people and his compassion for people. And not just to see people as a bother and to see people as a nuisance and to see people as something we just wish we could kind of run through the line and get out of our way in life, but to see every soul as someone for whom Christ died and to see those who are without Christ as without a shepherd. Be willing to take the time to have compassion on them. That's what Jesus did. We note, secondly, as we move into the miracle, the command that Christ gave. The command that Christ gave. If you're still in Mark chapter 6, look with me, if you would, please, at verse 35. The Bible says, and when the day was now far spent, the disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Now, this was the disciples' attitude. These are just people we need to get rid of. So if we get rid of the people, we'll get rid of our problems. That wasn't Jesus' attitude, though. Look what Jesus said in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now, is that a command of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes or no? It is, isn't it? Christ said, look, you don't have what you need to do this, but I'm commanding you to do this anyhow. This is an impossible task in your mind, but I'm commanding you to do this nonetheless. Give ye them to eat. In fact, back in our text in John chapter 6, if you want to turn there, he said to Philip in verse 5, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? It's almost as if he's creating this question, this reasoning in Philip's mind, and he begins to figure. Maybe he was counting on his fingers and toes, and maybe he was pulling his pockets out. He said, you know, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, we couldn't even feed him a little. Andrew said, well, I've got one little boy here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but, you know, what is that among so many? And they begin to do all their figuring, and they just come up empty. Christ had given them this command, give ye them to eat. And you know why he gave them that command? It was not because he thought that they could do it in and of themselves. It's because he wanted them to realize that the only way this crowd was going to get fed is if they completely depended upon the Lord. He wanted them to realize that they had to be totally dependent upon Christ for his work to be done. Because, you know, Christ has given us an impossible task. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we like to say, man, 1/3 of 6 billion people have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ in the way of salvation. 1/3 have never heard. How are we going to get the gospel to 2 billion people who've never heard? And we say, that's impossible. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough time. And we begin to figure just like the disciples do, but yet Christ has given us the command. And you know why he gave us the command? Because through his power, not ours, through his plans, not ours, through his strength and not ours, it can be accomplished. You see, we have to rely on him. We have to come to realize our own inability and his total ability and his complete ability to do his work in this world. Then we see, lastly, in this miracle, we see the coming to Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? Look in one verse here, John 6:11, and you see it. John 6:11 says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. You remember the story? Christ said, let's sit them in groups of 50 and hundreds. So here's a 50, here's a 50, here's a 100, here's a 100, here's 50, here's a 100. Obviously, there are many, many groups out of 5,000 more people. And I'm sure Christ knew which of the disciples could handle feeding a group of 50 and which could handle feeding a group of 100. You know, the Lord Jesus knows our abilities and he knows our opportunities and things that we're able to do. And so he said, here's what we're going to do. Very simply, you give me the loaves and the fish, and disciples, you come to me. And then after you come to me, then you'll be able to take from me what the people need. And so they began this process. I don't know how long it took. It took a little time, I'm sure. But they began this process, and Christ blessed that food, and the disciples would come to him, and I'm sure they'd fill their arms up or a basket up or whatever they had, and they filled up enough, and they go to their group of 50. They ran out, they came back to Jesus, and they fill up again, and they kept going to their group of 50 or their group of 100 or their second group of 50 or their second group of 100. And here these 12 men are just going back and forth to Jesus, back and forth to Jesus. You see, he designed the whole miracle so that it all depended upon him. Because he's trying to teach those disciples that his work all depends upon him. You know, we like to think we could figure it out. We like to think we could come up with our own plans and ideas, but none of their ideas would have worked. They came up empty. They had to realize if we're going to get his work done, if these hungry people are going to be fed, we're going to have to keep coming to Jesus, and we're going to have to keep coming by faith, believing that when we go back with another basket, that he's going to have enough to fill it back up. And you know what the beautiful thing is in the story? The beautiful thing is that as long as there was a demand for food, the supply was never exhausted. As long as they had a need, Christ was able to come up with the supply. As long as they kept coming back to Jesus, they were able to get what they needed for those hungry people. You see what he was teaching them? They had to continually come to Christ, come to Christ, come to Christ. In fact, you may have noted when we read in John chapter 6 and verse 10, I underlined this in my Bible, just a little phrase that seems so insignificant in the Bible. It says in verse 10, the heart of the verse, it just says this, now there was much grass in the place. You know, there are no luxuries in the Bible. Everything's here on purpose. Everything is of necessity. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit said there was much grass in the place. You know why? Because I think he wants to get the picture in our minds that after those disciples came back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, if you were to look at that mountainside and see everything that took place, you would notice something very carefully, that there were just well-worn paths to Jesus all over that mountainside. Why? They just beat that grass down going back and forth to Jesus. You know what we have to do? If we're going to take the gospel to a lost and dying world, if we're going to have something to give our neighbors and give the people we work with and give the people we meet that we've never even met before, if we're going to have something to give a lost and dying world, you know what we have to do? We just have to keep beating a path to Jesus. Because as long as there's a demand, there's a supply. You know, we have needs in our own lives, and we have to realize that as long as there's a demand, Christ is able to supply. Just come to Him in faith. Just keep coming to Him in faith. And as those disciples did that, I'm sure after two or three or four trips, they finally realized, you know what? The whole reason this work is getting accomplished is all because of Jesus. And that's what He wants us to realize in our lives. We see His compassion. We see the command He gave. Then we see these disciples coming to Christ. And may there be just a well-worn path to the Lord Jesus in each of our lives. If there's not, we know we have nothing to give the people who need it, right? We got to get on the path, beat the trail back to Him.